So I have the privilege of speaking the word to you this morning. Let's just bow our hearts and pray for a moment here. Father, I just pray that you'd be with me now as you've presented a message and put it on my heart. Father, I just pray that you'd be with us now as I present that message. You'd be in our hearts and our minds, and you'd be with me as I present it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verse I actually chose to speak on today was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 31. Where we find ourselves in Paul's response in this letter is within the issue of the relative value of spiritual gifts. However, today I'm not actually here to talk about the spiritual gifts so much as the underlying message that Paul has throughout this letter, which is the unity in the body. Since COVID struck, God has actually placed the word unity on my heart, specifically unity between the churches of Ottawa. And through that placing of that mission on my heart, God has actually opened a lot of doors in the youth ministry world. And amazing things have been happening. We're actually working with churches all over the city to run events and programs together in a united body to reach our students. We've also teamed up with a group to help us expand our youth pastor network to help our pastors that are in Ottawa continue to get the support from other youth pastors, to get collaborative work to happen, to share all of our trade secrets. I keep most of mine to myself, but... See, when there's unity in the body, we can see some amazing growth and some amazing gains for the kingdom. So when Bob asked me to speak this morning, automatically God placed the word unity on my heart, and I wasn't 100% sure where he wanted to take that. But 1 Corinthians 12 is where my heart landed. So the chapter starts with discussing the gifts of the Spirit and the importance of the different gifts. But we're going to start our focus from verse 12 on. This is where we're going to start to unpack this message. So let me read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 20. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be, the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, just every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So in the dictionary, unity is actually unity is defined as being joined as a whole. So it's a group of many parts or people who come together to form something that functions in a particular way. So before I ended up going to Tyndale to do my degree in theology, I started off doing firefighting in Newfoundland. And I'm going to share now a very unflattering story of our fire department, but there is a good reason behind it. So normally, we have about 32 members on our fire department in Newfoundland, and we're a volunteer fire department, so we have a pager that goes off so that you can rush down to the fire department in an organized manner to make it there and not cause an accident on the way, to get to the department so that we can rush off to the scene. But this particular weekend, for some reason, for the first 5 minutes of the call, four of us showed up. So here we are at the fire department with the four of us, and we realize, all right, 5 minutes has passed, we still need to go, there's a house fire, we need to get on location. So we all get in the truck, there's little Andre, big Andre, myself, and our deputy chief, Normore. So we get to the scene, the first thing we do, we take our hoses off. I mean, the house is actually fully engulfed in flames, we know we have to go in, there's a car in the driveway, we don't know what's going on with the person that's inside, so we decide we're going to go in regardless. So me and Andre take the hose, we go through the back door, and we start fighting the fire. And all of a sudden, all I feel is Andre bumping into the back of me. And his back is bumping into me, and I'm like, what's going on, right? So it turns out, because we only had four people, we had no backup team. So Deputy Chief Normore decided to wrap our fire hose around the bridge outside so that we could only get so far into the building in case something happened, he could actually pull us out. Andre didn't know that, so he's trying to rip that bridge out of the ground. It never happened, thankfully, but we also, unknowing to us, we did actually have three firefighters that did show up after we left the fire department. And they actually did not have such a good afternoon as well. They ended up getting into the second truck, which is a supply pumper, and they found out that it wouldn't start. We're like, well, this is just a wonderful night, right? So then there's one driving the truck, and then there's two of them with their backs on the back of the truck, with their feet on the wall, trying to push a 30,000-pound truck forward so they can drop the clutch and get the engine started. Now, thank God, because the driver said the tire moved probably 2 or 3 inches when they dropped the clutch and the car and the truck started. And they got to come up to the site and we got to hook up. And we actually fought that fire all night with 7 people out of 32 firefighters. Thankfully, there was nobody in the building. But we ended up actually saving the building in that time. So why am I sharing this unflattering story of a fire department that doesn't have firefighters that are showing up to a fire? So it wasn't to show everyone how brave I am. Well, it wasn't only to show everyone how brave I am. See, a fire department has unity. Without unity, its whole system breaks down. See, firefighters all have a role to play when on a scene. See, me and Andre, we were what's called the offensive team. All right, our purpose is to enter the building. The best case scenario is we get the fire out and we get everyone out. Worst case, the fire's too big and we just try and search the best we can. This seems like the most important job on the fire scene, right? Cool factors aside, it's the part that's doing the fighting of the fire. It's where the danger is. It's where the rescue happens. See, it seems like it's the most important role in the unity of the fire department, but little Andre is actually the pumper operator. His job is to make sure that the fire hose and the nozzle in my hand gets enough pressure at all times for it to work effectively. See, with too much pressure or too little on that end, the hose line doesn't work correctly. So the pumper engine actually has multiple dials that he is supposed to keep his eyes on 100% of the time. The rule in the fire department is you're not allowed to distract the pumper operator. This job is for people who are highly attentive. So this is obviously the most important job, right? This is the most important truck. However, there's also the supply pumper, which is their job is to ensure that the pumper truck is getting enough water to supply us on the other end. And then the chief or the deputy chief is in charge of the whole site who is constantly evaluating the scene for unseen dangers. Is the power turned off in the building? That's a lot of water going in there. Is the building still structurally sound? Each person and each engine on the scene all have a specific job that varies greatly in description, but united as a whole, as one body, we complete the task at hand. Now, I think when we hear the word unity, we're actually quick to understand it as a group of people that are getting along. The idea is that conflict is not rampant in the community, but rather peace and harmony is the feel of the room. I think Paul is attempting to show us that unity should strive for harmony in the body, but unity is also a community that is cohesive in action. It uses all the parts exactly how they are meant to be used to fulfill the mission of the community. I find it no coincidence that in Romans 12, verses 4 to 8, Paul uses the same analogy of the body to describe how we are to function as the body of Christ. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. See, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is explaining the value of the spiritual gifts and how that they're all equal, he's also talking in another way, explaining the need for unity within the church. That all parts, all the gifts, not just the spiritual gifts, but the gifts that each individual in this room has, is important to the unity of the church. A unity that strives to embrace its diversity in skills and passions to further the kingdom and use all those parts to succeed in the mission. Now, a cool thing happened last week. While Doug was speaking last night, he said the words, "I need you," and Doug had no clue that I was talking on this today. But Paul continues with this, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are presentable we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equally concerned for each other, and that if one part suffers, every part suffers with it, and if one part is honored, everyone rejoices with it." So I want to echo Doug's words here today. We need you. The community needs you. You need the community. Wherever you are today, don't lose the connection with the community that is here. See, our church landscape has changed over the last 2 years. All right, if you take a moment to look around, some of you are going to see your living room walls. But if you're here in the church today, you're actually going to take a look around and you're going to see some faces that you don't recognize. All right, I know in Summit and Base Camp, we have a whole bunch of new students from families in the church. And since Hillary's joined the team with Kingdom Kids, I am now more aware of how many children are running around up there, and it's beautiful. Just a few months ago, we actually did a newcomer's dinner. We had to set up twice, not because we're not really good at setting up it for events, because once we got all the chairs and the tables out, we realized that we didn't have enough space for everyone. See, that's a beautiful thing for a church to have. But as a community, it means that we have a lot of work to do. It means we need to have a community that has the unity like a fire department. The unity that Paul is sharing about here, a unity that is a church community that is the light unto this world. Our church goal is to be the light to this community. And that light starts here within this community, with each part in the seats here today. See, the more we invest in our community here in the church, the more we can shine our light out to the world around us. Every role and step that we take here to continue to foster a community that loves each other, that teaches the Word, that loves the Lord, makes us better prepared to continue the mission for the kingdom. And all the parts of this community are equal. Paul is very clear on that. If anyone knows the teachers are told to just repetitive, Paul understood that to a T. However, I do have a question for the parts of the body that are here in this room today. I want to ask you, what is your part in this community? See, we have a mission as a church. It's to reach the lost. So how do we do that? By having every part of our body working in unity towards a goal. All right, maybe your part is to be an official greeter. Maybe your skills are at meeting with people with a smile, and that's how you can serve best. Maybe it's to serve behind the scenes and serve the families of KBC by helping out and volunteering with Kingdom Kids. I can tell you there's no higher calling than working with the youngins, all right? And if you're praying for patience, maybe your part is as simple as scanning the room every Sunday and trying to find one person you don't recognize so you can connect with them. See, maybe your part is on the end of the fire nozzle. Maybe your part is in evangelism. Or reaching out to your brothers and sisters who have been unable to return to us yet. And maybe for those of you who haven't been able to return to us yet, maybe your part is to find a way to create a community with our online body. There's no reason that our comments section can't be a booming place to be, okay? There's no reason that online small groups can't be formed. Every part of the body of this church is important. Every part and pumper running, without them running, we might struggle to complete the mission. See, I shared my story about our unflattering night on the fire department because it was as close as we have ever come to not being able to fulfill our mission. And it wasn't because the scene was too big or complicated for us to control. What brought us so close to failing the people of Springdale was the lack of parts. Thankfully, no one was in that building that night because we took so long to leave the department, and when we got there, we couldn't complete our job the way that we're supposed to. We need every part to show up to have the highest chance in succeeding in our mission, and the same is true today for our church. If your part is to help foster the community within this church, then find a way to do that. If your part is to reach out to those new people within our community, find a way to do that. If your part is to fix bikes in Montreal, find a way to do that. The part that you are is very important. As Paul says, all the parts of the body are equal. Paul goes through great lengths to talk about internal organs and loincloths just to get that point across. So don't fail to hear that. Every part of our bodies have a function. Wherever you are today, whether it be at home or in a seat today, there's a place for you in this church to continue to build this church, to continue to build the community within this church. Each one of you has a purpose in this community, and without the unity that Paul is speaking about here, where all the parts are at work in their ways, we can't reach our full potential. And I know it can be complicated with COVID and the world as it is right now. The important thing is to find a part in the community where you feel comfortable to be. It's just as important as the parts that can only be done in person. It's just as important as any part in this church. So let's continue to foster the light within this building, within the community here, so that we can continue to be the light outside of this building. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, I just want to pray for our community and every community, every church in Canada, in the world, has all gone through some trying times over the last few years, Father. And a lot of parts of our churches are unsure where they fit. Father, I just want you to give them encouragement that they fit somewhere and encourage them to find out where that is. Lift them up, give them confidence, give them courage, and enlighten them where that is. Be with them as they might be called to move out of a comfort zone. But Father, this is an important mission, to continue to build your kingdom, to continue to be your light unto this world. So Father, help us continue to build that light. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.